And you are listening to FOW Live here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, how the heck are you?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, the weather's starting to get a little bit warmer. The wrestling season itself is getting warmer as we head closer and closer into WrestleMania.
Yeah. A lot more about that. But Danny, how I'm interested in hearing about another Mania. How has Fantastic Mania been? Because I haven't watched it.
It's been a lot of fun. I haven't. I guess today was technically the last show of the tour. I haven't watched today's. I'm partway into yesterday's show. But it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's, of course, been the first time in a few years since pandemic and these kind of things. Crowds are back cheering, so that definitely helps a lot. One of the things that I always love about the tour is how the crowd goes, like, full lucha. You know, they're wearing masks, and they, you know, they know the wrestlers, and they're doing, you know, they're doing their taunts and you know, chanting for them. And, you know, there were I heard some people having air horns and stuff this year, which, of course, is a very lucha thing, to blast the air horns, you know, after they do dives and big spots and stuff. But it's been a lot of fun. You know, they've had a lot of the, you know, returning faces, Volador Jr., Mystico, Ultimo Guerrero. And then there's, you know, a couple new people as well. I'm trying to remember the name of Mahija Blanca is, I think this is his first year.
Teaming up with Volador Jr.
He was teaming up with Volador for the tournament. Yeah, the tag tournament they do. Mm-hmm. Capitan Suicida, I think, is also making his first year. Rey Cometa, I don't know if it's his first year, but he's there and he's looking really good. Barbaro Cavernario's back this year. Dulce Gardeña's back this year. Templario is there as well. So they got a really good group this year. You know, of course, some of the, you know, the LIJ guys are pretty regular on the tour, as well as Ishimori and Master Wato, Taguchi, Tanahashi, you know, some of the usual Hontai guys that are part of the tour as well. But it's been a lot of fun. Some fun matches and stuff. But like I said, one of my favorite parts is the crowd. And now the crowds can fully cheer. You know, they're fully getting into the spirit again.
Yeah, which... it's great, right? I mean, that's one of the things that you love about that is the interactions that the wrestling fans can have, cheering for their favorites, booing they're not so favorites, but just having a great time, be able to be as loud as they can about it.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, in a sense, that's you know, that's a key component, I think, of Lucha Libre, especially, you know, is that fan interaction. It's getting the people excited and, you know, and all that. And so it's thankfully the people were able to do it this year. And like I said, so it makes for a really fun atmosphere. You know, when the crowd's there and pumped up to be there, it makes it, you know, everybody work harder.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And with that being said, now we're done with the Fantastic Mania after today, you said. Yeah. And of course we have the big tournament coming up. Yes. The New Japan Cup. And so some cleaning up here. They haven't mentioned anything about a U.S. version like they've done before, but, you know, they are going to have the Ninja Cup, I believe it's going to, oh my gosh, how many people are in this thing? A lot of people. But a couple of people are gonna have bias.
You know? Yeah. I don't know if they were quote unquote like luck of the draw, or whether these, you know, some of them are champions, so you go, okay, maybe, but then others are not champions, so I don't know how the buys are were distributed.
Yeah. So earning first round buys, Kenta, Chase Owens, Jeff Cobb, Will Ospreay, Hiroki Goto, Tama Tonga, Great O'Conn, Sexy Jr. But in the first round matches, Sanada versus Taichi, Tetsuya Naito versus ELP, Rey Narita versus Evil, Toriyano versus Mark Davis, Yoshihashi versus Kyle Fletcher, Shingo Takagi versus Aaron Hinari, David Finlay versus Tomohiro Hiroishi, and Shota Umino versus Yuya Takahashi. You know, it's funny, if they can both make it to the quarterfinals, we could see Evil and Toriyano yet again facing each other, and those two have had some entertaining matches over the year, but both will have to get through Jeff Cobb and Will Ospreay in the second round. Win their first round matches.
It's not a given. One of the things with this year's tournament, I don't really see any clear-cut favorites right at the get-go. You know, you can see some people and say, oh, well, they've had success in this tournament before. Oh, well, they've won it before. But at the same time, like, nobody stands out as like, oh, they're going to make it to the finals, or they're going to be the one to win it this year. So I'm very curious to see how things go. You know, a lot of people, you know, I mean, you have champions like Zack Sabre Jr. and, you know, Goto and Yoshihashi, as well as, you know, Kenta, who just recently won the Strong Openweight Championship. He will be there. Continually conspicuous by his absence, the United States champion will not be featured in the New Japan Cup. But, I'm not really sure who could be the clear-cut favorites. You have former winners, champions, you know. David Finlay creating somewhat of a buzz. When he attacked Jay White, after Jay White's last match, you know, now he's forced to leave New Japan Pro Wrestling. David Finlay wanted to spoil the celebrate, you know, the fans kind of paying their respects to Jay, laid him out and said he was, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was going to be a real threat coming back, you know, as we really hadn't seen much of Finlay in New Japan since, you know, Juice kind of turned Bullet Club and left Finlay high and dry for a little bit. Switchblade in the quarterfinals last year. So
yeah,
he could go far this year potentially. But yet again, I don't really know.
He also picked up a quiet win against Bobby Fish on the pre-show for Battle of the Valley.
Which, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No one really talked about.
Yeah.
Because that's how much.
Because it was the pre-show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, yeah, I mean, Sonata, of course, could go far. You know, he's been a block winner for the G1 Climax. Of course, that's quite different than the New Japan Cup, which is single elimination versus, you know, the round robin style of points at the G1. So it's interesting. I mean, Evil won it, you know, a few years ago. So there's possible that he could try to do the same. I don't really know. Like I said, there's nobody that stands out to me like, okay, they're making the finals or they're winning. I don't know. Which I guess makes it much more interesting, because then it makes you have to pay attention more to all the matches to see where people are going.
Right. You know, interesting. Of the last 5 years, six years ago, you had the finals were Fale versus Shibata, of course. She brought apparently, you know, semi-retired, but it sounds like he signed a new contract.
Yeah.
He's slowly picking it up. But, you know, 18 had a sexy virginity beat Tanahashi. Tanahashi, of course, not in the tournament this year. Yeah. In 19 had Okada defeat Sonata. Okada not in this year. But if you look at the last 3 years, and I'm sorry, and then Evil defeat Okada in 2020. But if you look at the last few years, Takagi, Shingo versus Ospreay, and Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr., which were the two finals of the last 2 years, based on the bracket setups, we could potentially get, you know, if the cards play right, even a possible rematch of the finals from one of the last 2 years, as they're all, you know, bracket away from each other. Where the finalists of the last 2 years could only see each other at the finals.
Okay. Interesting, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, a repeat of either of those two matches I would not hate. I mean, Naito Zack Sabre Jr. Had a fantastic match the last year. And
yeah.
I dare say an even better one between Shingo and Ospreay back in 2021. So it's just been wasn't there an earthquake in one of those tournaments that stopped, canceled some of the matches? Or had they had to reschedule? I can't remember.
They rescheduled a few events because of that, yeah.
But it's, yeah. So I mean, it could be, I mean, anybody, right? I mean, you see a lot of people here, it could be anybody, but yeah, I mean, Taichi, he's had this huge momentum.
He's been very up and down, but he's always looked strong. Yet again, I mean, Torayano, the spoiler, is you know, could possibly find himself much higher in the tournament than you would expect. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. won it last year. And he continued on that success, winning yet another tournament, the television title tournament. Successfully defended that belt. So, I mean, it's very possible that Zack Sabre Jr. could win it again.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun match possibilities there, in New Japan, of course. You know, they've got a lot of shows coming up, keeping busy with the New Japan Cup, but also they got to get ready for Sakura Genesis. Will happen. I think tickets went on sale today for it, so I can only imagine that those are going fast.
Yeah.
And the question is, when will we see the IWGP Women's Champion again?
That's true too. Now I have heard the rumor that she only has two more matches on the current deal she has with New Japan. Two more matches. Predicted opponents are the two people whom she mentioned in the Wrestle Kingdom post-show press conference as, you know, people that she would want to face, Mayu Iwatani and Azumi. So those are probably her likely opponents on the day that Mercedes won the belt at Battle in the Valley. There was a Stardom show that featured a match between Azumi and Mayu Iwatani. Azumi won, and she laid out the challenge to Mercedes in her post-match press conference, saying she heard Mercedes won. You know, Mercedes has already dropped her name. She wants to be the next one to get the shot. So it has, as far as I know, it hasn't been made official yet. But that's where things look. But yeah, I don't know if it's going to be at a at a Stardom show. I don't know if her, if it's going to be at a New Japan show or it's going to be here stateside, you know, in the New Japan Strong shows. Nothing's been announced yet. We're all just waiting to hear.
Yeah. But I don't know. One thing I am definitely looking forward to, while we are looking forward to her first defense, is this year's anniversary show.
Yes.
Usually the anniversary show, and I think we briefly talked about this last week, but usually the anniversary show has to see the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion face off against the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. This year, though, we're doing things a little different. You know, and we're going to have a IWGP Tag Team Championship match as Okada and Tanahashi team up to challenge Yoshihashi and Goto in your main event, plus a few first round matches from the New Japan Cup and whatnot, but a little different. But I mean, these two guys, I think, you know, when history is done, you know, when these guys are done and the history books are written, continue to get written, these two will forever be linked. You know, I don't know. I mean, as many challenges as Okada has faced in his career, to me, Tanahashi is the one that will define him, as, you know, bring the best out of him and really make him, you know, one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time, and could end up being the greatest Japanese wrestler of all times.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, Tanahashi was the established star, and it was definitely their feuds, you know, for several years that helped, you know, shine the popularity to New Japan, you know, not just in their home country, but also in the U.S., you know, as Bullet Club was starting to form, and, you know, we were hearing about these amazing matches these two guys are having, and however, you know, you need to pay attention, you need to be watching. And, you know, eventually some fans started turning that way, and, you know, that helped continue the westward expansion. But yeah, their careers have always been kind of linked off and on, and, you know, teaming together now as the Dream Team. I mean, in a sense, they're kind of the, you know, similar to like a John Cena, Randy Orton, you know, they were the ones that, you know, together they kind of helped define each other. And it was a rivalry that defined definitely a period of time in, you know, WWE. So, yeah, I definitely see Tanahashi and Okada as definitely that level. You know, those two guys that are – people are always going to be talking about their series of matches. When you mention one, you're going to mention the other.
Lots of fun matches on that show. While that is happening, though, the question is anybody talking about what else is happening this weekend? Because outside of Dave Meltzer, I don't really hear much talk, or at least fanfare, about Revolution.
Oh my goodness, which I keep forgetting is actually happening. So the fact that it's not being sang from the rooftops, you know, and that we constantly keep forgetting that, oh yeah, it is happening this weekend, is, I don't know if that's indicative of fan excitement for the event either.
I mean, let's take a look at the cards as they have it currently. In no particular order. A Ironman match for the AEW World Championship. MJF defense against Bryan Danielson. The Guns will be defending the AEW Tag Team titles against the Acclaimed, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. And to be determined. Which I believe.
Oh yeah, they were supposed to be doing a battle royal or something tomorrow for the last team to enter that match.
Yeah, the casino tag team battle royal, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
John Moxley versus Hangman Page in a Texas death match. Is he the one from Texas?
I don't think so. Moxley's from Ohio, and Hangman Page is from Virginia, I thought.
So
is the event itself in Texas?
It's not. It's in San Francisco.
Ah, okay. So yeah. So they're having Texas death match because, you know, you don't want to call it a Virginia death match, I guess.
So I guess a Virginia guy versus a Ohio guy in California.
Yeah, under Texas death match rules. Yeah.
I guess, I mean, they could call it the Bay City Mayhem or something.
I mean,
create a different type of
West Coast death match or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Back in the day, I mean, Ray Stevens, I mean, dude threw down back in San Francisco. I mean, that was part of his town. Come on. All right, Samoa Joe defeating. Well, he will defeat him, so I don't care. Defending the TNT Championship against Wardlow, Chris Jericho versus Ricky Starks. And the JAS is banned from ringside. Jamie Hayter versus Soraya versus Ruby Soho in a three-way match where Hayter's defending the AEW Women's Championship. And the Elite defending the Trios Championship against the House of Black, who I guess they're back.
Yeah, they are.
Andrade's still not back, though.
No, they're talking about his accent and insinuating his penis size, on Raw, though.
Well, you know, I mean, but yeah, so 7 matches so far announced. What excites you? I mean, this question mark is a few matches. I mean, if anything, the Trios match. I mean, that's just a match made for Meltzer.
Well, I mean,
special he give it.
I mean, the matches themselves are probably going to be, you know, probably going to be enjoyable, you know, for the most part. You know, I mean, that hasn't been the problem with AEW. You know, the matches are usually good or have their moments. It's just kind of, you know, getting fans outside of this small core group of super hardcore fans to really feel invested, you know, and that's always been my problem with them is feeling invested in the characters and the stories to the point where I'm watching and wanting to see winning lose. Like I, you know, you have favorites. Oh yeah, I like them. I don't like them, but that's not always enough in itself, especially mm-hmm. when you're wanting people to pay additional money just to see this one show. You know, so I don't know. I mean, like you said, nothing really, you know, some of the stuff, oh yeah, this will probably be fun, but like nothing stands out. Nothing really makes me want to pay $40-$50 or whatever to see this one show. Particularly, you know, I mean, when you charge that kind of price tag, there definitely needs to be more than one or two matches that are exciting you, especially when you have pay services that charge much less and you get so much more, you know, than just one live event. So yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, there's, you know, I mean, I don't, yeah, nothing really jumps out at me as must see. Is I have to watch and I have to watch live and, you know, all that. Yeah. So I don't know. It's, I mean, it, yeah, I guess that's probably the reason why we haven't heard as much talk about it from other fans as well. It's probably a shared sentiment.
Yeah. So let's take a look at a few of these matches. Maybe we'll do a different type of prediction. I'm going to ask questions about these matches and then, you just give me your honest Danny Danger answers. All right.
Okay.
All right. The Elite versus House of Black. Would you predict how many super kicks will be in this match?
Okay, so you have Bucks and you have the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and then on the other side it's Brody King, Buddy Murphy, and Aleister Black, right? So yeah, I don't expect super kicks or very many super kicks from the House of Black side. There's going to be a lot of kicks from that side, but you know Buddy Murphy's not really a super kick or a big high kicker guy. Black is definitely not a super kick guy because he's a trained martial artist. If you put the ticker up, my guess would be like 23
super kicks. All right. 23. Perfect. All right. Man, where's Eric when we're playing this game? Jamie Hayter, Saraya, Ruby, Soho here. What women wins with outside interference advantage?
With outside interference advantage, I think you have to give it to the champion. You know, I mean, she has Britt, but she also has Rebel. And Rebel really hasn't wrestled much. You know, it's been, you know, she's been in a handful of tag matches. So she's pretty much made her point in the group by running outside interference. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, Saraya has friends. Yes, Ruby Riott has, or Ruby Soho has friends, you know, that may try to block some of that interference. But, yeah, if anybody's going to win due to interference, I think it's going to be Hayter, and it could cause a split. It could cause friction within the group, you know. If that so happens, she may get upset and be like, what, you didn't think I could do it on my own? You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I definitely see Hayter being the one to take prime advantage of outside interference if possible.
All right. All right. Jericho and Ricky Starks. At what minute mark do you predict the JAS to show up at ringside?
So they're quote-unquote banned from ringside, right?
Correct. They're banned from ringside.
Okay. But they can still show up in the crowd. They can still show up on the Videotron.
You know they're going to show up at some point.
Yeah. Or, they're going to try to show up at the crowd. And
your prediction is that you can even predict that they will not even show up. You know, they might actually adhere to the rules of the match and not show up.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's possible. At what point? I mean, it's a Chris Jericho match. It's 2023. It's not a top-level match. I'd say the match itself probably only goes 12 minutes. So maybe say minute number 6 or 7 is when somebody tries somehow, be it – and they come to ringside, like I said, or they could show up on the Videotron and just start taunting or come into the crowd, you know, and try to do something – you know, try to find some diabolical way to bend the rules and help Jericho win.
Yeah. All right. So this is another numbers one. Okay. Samoa Joe, Wardlow. Yeah. How long does Wardlow last?
About 7 minutes. You know, I mean, A, it's because it's Samoa Joe. And B, they're both going to come out. You know, both guys, especially Wardlow, I think we haven't really seen Wardlow in a lot of longer matches. So he comes out from the get-go very guns blazing, you know. So he comes out to trying to end the match quickly with hard-hitting stuff. So I think, you know, yeah, I don't think the match is going to go that long. I give it about 7.
Okay. All right. So here's another one that and this is just my pure opinion, when it comes to Moxley and Hangman Page, Adam Page still got, even though he is a former AEW world champion, at least in my eyes, I just don't see him as a top guy. No matter what, how they booked him, no matter how they presented him, to me, he's just another sidekick. All right? So, will this match make him a top guy in my eyes after this match?
Will this match change your opinion?
My perception of Hangman Page.
From everything I've known about you and your perception of wrestlers, you're fairly stubborn. Once you see a wrestler a certain way, that's kind of how you define them, and it's very, very difficult to change that. So I don't know if he had a one-on-one match versus Jesus Christ and won, if you would still see him as more than how you already currently see him. So I will say it will not. Okay. And I don't see him as just another sidekick, but I definitely don't see him as the guy that leads the company. You know, I see him as, I mean, to me, he's Dolph Ziggler level. Okay. He puts on good matches. You know, the fans like him and they care about him, but he's not the, you know, when he's not, it doesn't feel comfortable with him trying to be the top guy, you know?
See, yeah, to me, like, when they come up with a Turner movie classics champion, I could see him hold that belt.
That's what I'm saying. I could see him being a strong secondary champion for, you know, having multiple reigns or long, you know, or a very long reign. That's what I'm saying. I see him as Ziggler. I see him as upper, you know, as mid-card, upper mid-card. I mean, he'll wear whatever position you put him in, he's going to perform well. But he just doesn't resonate with people well enough to be a guy to lead. Because even when he was the champion, he was not the talk of the company, you know? You know, CM Punk coming back and all these things were the things fans were talking about, not the champion and the matches the champion was having.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, I do not care what happens in that match. I do not believe that one single match will change your perception.
All right. The tag team, the four-way tag team titles are on the line here. What team does Billy Daddy Ass, or whatever his name is these days, leave with at the end of the night, of the match?
Meaning his sons or the Acclaimed or other?
Who knows? He could join Jeff Jarrett's stable of whatever they're calling themselves, or
I mean, I see him more likely siding with the Acclaimed. You know, they've helped give him a lot of, you know, basically they've helped make him feel young again, that he's young and he's fucking cool and he's selling merch and people are excited to see him. His own kids never did that shit for him.
Definitely not.
No. So, you know, your kids, like, it's different, man. You're hanging out with your kids. Okay, cool. They're adults. But at the same time, like, they're your kids. You got to feel responsible. You got to kind of keep track and make sure they're not doing shitty stuff. Because if they do shitty stuff, it looks bad on you. But, like, the Acclaimed are like his friends. Like, he can go hog wild hanging out with them. He doesn't got to worry, you know, that what they do is going to reflect poorly on him, or, you know, that their mother, that he's going to get an angry call from their mother if they do something, you know?
Yeah.
So I see him overall in the feud siding with the Acclaimed in a very happy babyface type scenario.
All right. So Daddy Ass continues to scissor.
Yeah, Daddy Ass continues to scissor and, all right, you know, get paydays at conventions based on that catchphrase.
All right. The main event, and this one that we'll actually predict the winner. But my question for you, does Bryan Danielson make a professional wrestler out of MJF after this match?
No, because the way that they're going to, the way that this is probably going to happen is, you know, MJF trying his quote unquote sports entertainment style against Bryan Danielson's pure wrestling style. You know, I think the thing is, the story of the match is essentially going to be MJF trying to find ways to take Bryan Danielson out of his game. You know, in a pure wrestling match, striking, these kind of things, it's, you know, the story is supposed to be that nobody can top Danielson. Okay? Nobody's going to be better than him. So I think MJF is going to, you know, he's going to lean more heavily into shenanigans, into underhanded tactics and these kind of things to try and secure wins in this match. I would not be surprised if MJF gave up one or two falls very early on, you know, by possibly using a weapon, you know, or somebody interfering on his behalf and trying to injure Danielson early on. So then MJF could score up several wins, you know, within that first half of the match and get put Danielson at a very heavy disadvantage, you know, through these shenanigan tactics. I think that reminds me of the Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Iron Man match they had on SmackDown. Very early on, Brock Lesnar beat the holy hell out of Kurt with a chair. Okay. So he loses by disqualification. Kurt Angle gets a point. But now Kurt's severely weakened. So within the next few minutes, Brock Lesnar was able to pin him several times and regain those points into an advantage. And then Kurt is fighting from underneath the rest of the match, trying to catch up while he's hurt, while he's worn down and tired and behind on the points. I could see this match being structured similarly, you know, MJF cheating, you know, and to the point where he loses a fall because of it and Danielson gets points, but then MJF is very quick to regain those points. So I don't think it's going to change MJF. It doesn't need to. Regardless of the outcome, you know, you need MJF in this capacity. You don't need to quote unquote prove that he's a wrestler. He's a heel. He doesn't have to prove anything to the fans except that he wins. That's the whole point of a heel, is they win and get the money by any means necessary. They're not there to prove how good they are to the fans. They just win, and then they sit there and boast about how good they are. So I don't think it needs to happen that way at all. I think would be more detrimental to the character of MJF if you did quote-unquote prove that he could wrestle. Nobody cares if he can wrestle or not.
So who goes home with the belt? So you think MJF is retaining?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it would be because of this, you know, his master strategy and underhanded tactics against Bryan's pure wrestling style. You know, I mean, that's the traditional heel storytelling. The heel only wins via strategy and underhanded tactics. When it comes to pure athletic ability and pure, you know, structure following the rules, the good guy wins. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, if they stick to that formula, which, yet again, no guarantee, it's AEW, people kind of jump back and forth very quickly as far as their roles and who's a fan favorite, who's not a fan favorite, who's a heel, who's a face, whatever. But if they stick to that formula, then I think MJF continues on with the belt. And then, you know, we look to see what are the challengers line up. You know, does Kenny Omega want to step back up? Does, you know, does CM Punk decide he wants to come back and you know, and wrestle again against MJF for the championship, or, you know, or somebody else debuts? You know, they love a debut at a pay-per-view show.
Well, let's go there, because that was actually going to be my follow-up question. Does the Switchblade show up at Revolution, or does he show up at Monday Night Raw?
I honestly don't know. You know, and
where would you like him to show up?
I think he would be better suited in Impact Wrestling, because the roster's a little bit smaller. You know, when he was there before, they gave him, you know, a very good place. They made him a fixture of storylines, these kind of things, where I'm not sure if he gets that in AEW or WWE. You know, in AEW, he can come back to fanfare, etc. But, you know, what happened with Adam Cole? What happened with, you know, person A, person B, person C, person D, who all came in to very high fanfare? Fans are like, oh man, this guy's the next world champion, etc. And they become just another guy in the middle of the roster. And a very, very heavy roster. And WWE is a very different ballgame, you know, where AEW may try to play along what they think the fans want. You know, WWE finds their story and the way they want to do it, and then convinces the fans that this is what they want to see. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think Impact's a better fit for him as far as giving him a top level position. But I don't know if the money's there. I don't know if that's really what he wants. You know, since it is kind of, I mean, it's a more limited schedule with Impact. Gives you a lot of free time. I don't know if he would want to sit around or if he'd want to take indie bookings and, you know, but then I don't know if, you know, yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm very unsure of what the next move could be for Switchblade.
Yeah, that's going to be what is going to keep people guessing for a hot minute.
I mean, even if he does show up at Impact or AEW, that doesn't mean that he signed an exclusive deal with either right off the bat. You know, with WWE, it's pretty much, you know, if they put you on television, it's pretty much guaranteed that you've signed with them. They're not going to put their time and energy into building you up into something if they're not locked in to make sure that they reap the benefits of the work they've put in. Whereas the other companies we've definitely seen where somebody will come in for a couple months, you know, kind of on a per appearance deal, or, you know, oh yeah, we'll use you for X amount of time. And then we'll see, we'll go from there, you know, like, yeah. So if he should just be, you know, even if he does show up, you know, at the end or somehow and try to, you know, cause interfere in the match or just come up and brawl with people at the end, or they show a video package, that doesn't necessarily mean that he signed to an exclusive deal for X amount of years with AEW.
Yeah. So let's put it, let's say he does go to WWE, right?
Okay.
Let's say he does that and then he says to give that a try. Obviously, we know the success that AJ Styles had. I could very much see people compare Jay's debut in career in the release to AJ's. You know, both former Bullet Club leaders, both similar. Places they've stopped at, they've worked at, you know, Impact, here and there, the Indies, former champs. Does I mean even if it's not even if it shouldn't be a right comparison because AJ Styles just you know phenomenal one of a kind, but does Jay White have the success that AJ has had in the WWE despite the look, despite the size? Despite him being just a country boy,
I see, and I would think with other possible deals that are out there, in order for WWE to get Switchblade to sign with them, that they would have to give him a similar deal to where they gave AJ. No NXT, go straight to the main roster, right onto TV. Right into big programs, you know, they're going to, if they're going to want to pay him what he's probably hoping to receive, then they're going to want to maximize their output and usage for him. You know, there's not the pressure that there was with AJ and his age. So they were thinking, oh, we've only got a handful of years with AJ Styles at the top of his game. We're not going to waste two of those making him go through NXT. You know, I think that was also a deciding factor in giving AJ the deal he had. So there's not that. And for Switchblade, I mean, Switchblade is I mean, he's very young. I think he's 30 years old or just, you know, right around 30. So he's still got a potentially long career ahead of him. But I see him as having, I would say, possibly more success than AJ Styles has had in WWE, because the things that everybody criticized AJ for lacking throughout his career, you know, his ability to talk, his charisma, you know, where AJ always relied on his in-ring, you know, physical characteristics, his in-ring style and these kind of things to gain support from the fans. I think Jay White has it the other way around. I think Jay is much better at selling a story, making you care about what he's doing, making you care about his matches that are coming up, and even the storytelling during a match, which I think WWE puts a much higher stock in than just your gifted physicality. You know, just how, what kind of cool moves you can do, what kind of things you can do. Can you make people care? And that to me is something that Switchblade, I think, has always had. And that it does better than most of the business, if not, you know, being one of the best. So I would say that Switchblade has, you know, if he allows it, I think he could come in and have a quite lengthy career in WWE if he's willing to move the directions of whatever creative has for him. You know, you look at a guy like, you know, I'm going to make the example of The Miz. The Miz is not somebody who you ever talk about having great matches, but he makes people care about what he's doing. You know, He's a personality. He's a sports entertainer. He's a persona. People know him. People care about him. People are watching what he's doing, but they're not watching it because he's going to go in there and he's going to have a cool match. They're not watching it because he can do these great and amazing things in the ring like few others can. No, you know, he makes you care by the story, by telling the story, presenting it, you know, making you believe what he's saying. And that's why Miz has had such a lengthy career in WWE, because he can do that and he's willing to move wherever, with whatever creative gives him. You know, put him in a tag team with somebody, put him in this, you know, put him in this, give him a talk show thing, do this. You know, Miz is flexible, and whatever they give him, he always works hard to make people care about it and make the most out of it. So Switchblade has that capability. It's whether he has that willingness to just go with the flow and be at the top of the card, and then 6 months later be in opening matches, you know, and, you know, hang there for a few years before moving back up to the top again. You know, if he's okay with that up and down going with the flow, he could be in WWE for 10 plus years very easily. But, you know, if he wants to be at the top of the card having 20 plus minute matches, you know, every month on pay-per-view, and that's all he wants, he may or may not get that kind of success.
Only time will tell. I mean, there's no given that he will be in the league. I mean, he could show up on Saturday at Revolution, or he could be a Wednesday Night Delight announcement for Tony Khan, because you know how much he loves his
Wednesday. He loves his very special announcements, and it doesn't matter what the announcement is, as long as he's making it and you're paying attention.
Yeah. So, speaking of paying attention, now we now have a new zone. We have an honor zone, as they began doing tapings for Ring of Honor's show that's going to be a weekly. I think it's weekly. I can't remember. On the Honor Club. They started taping it in the back lot in Universal Studios. Of course, lots of wrestling. Universal, lastly, we had the Impact Zone, but now the Honor Zone. Yeah, what do you make of TK deciding to take his talents to Orlando for the apparently not only just for Ring of Honor tapings, but also for Dark. It is now also the Dark Zone.
I mean, you know, I saw a couple pictures of the set design and stuff with the fans and everything. It looked good. You know, it's probably going to look good across television. You know, I also saw, you know, the match lineup and stuff that they recorded, you know, over the weekend. And there looks to be some interesting matches, you know, interesting names, you know, from, you know, that were part of the last incarnation of Ring of Honor, as well as previous incarnations, as well as, you know, some AEW Dark level talent that they're looking to kind of feature a little more heavily in the Ring of Honor. You know, I don't know where it's going to go, but it has the possibility to be something worth paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, advertised already for the first show.
Yeah.
There's, I think, 9 matches, including the New Japan TV Championship being defended. Sexy Virginia
Pinson. Yeah, that was one of the big, big surprises. I know Zach was, you know, was in the United States. He wrestled for Beyond this past week. But yeah, him showing up there was a huge surprise.
I guess he, you know, got a free trip to Disney World. So
Yeah, it's so, I mean, wherever they are, to me it doesn't really matter. You know, they could be in Orlando, they could be in Jacksonville, they could be in, you know, in LA, you know, I don't really care. It's a studio. Yeah. A studio can be, you know, they can tell you, oh, we're in Cleveland tonight. Oh, we're in Houston tonight. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't know. You never see outside the venue, you know.
Yeah. Well, we have a few faces that we've seen here in Atlanta. Renegades.
Renegade Twins. Yeah. The Renegade Twins.
Slim J is gonna be in action.
Yeah,
Mark Briscoe.
I think Slim J's got a couple matches. I mean, on that first show, Slim J is wrestling against Mark in the very first match of the new era of Ring of Honor. It's supposed to be a thing where Jay Briscoe was against Amazing Red in the very first official match of the original Ring of Honor. So now Mark Briscoe and Slim J, who also worked some Ring of Honor dates in that first year as part of the Special K team, You know, they're supposed to, it's supposed to be kind of a setting the pace for the next generation of Ring of Honor. But you know, Slim J, I think, had a couple matches on that taping schedule from the weekend that I saw. So there looks like they're going to, his group is going to be focused more heavily in Ring of Honor than on AEW right now.
Yeah. we're also going to have the Infantry. Charlie Bravo and
Carly without the H.
Oh, really? Is it? Oh, really? Oh,
Carly, it's Carly Bravo. Yeah.
And
Sean Dean. Yeah.
Is it the captain?
Yeah, he was the captain, Sean Dean. Yeah.
Sean Dean. So yeah, a few good faces from Atlanta, and of course, Metalik, who's a free agent right now.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Grand Metalik's still a free agent. Yeah, nobody's snatched him up yet.
Yeah, apparently he had a short-term contract with New Japan.
Where he was working with their strong shows and stuff. Okay, just short-term. I didn't realize that they didn't lock him down to something longer. Well, I get they might not have locked too many people down for longer if they were thinking of rebuilding the structure of how they were doing it anyways.
Right, which also brings me to, you know, a guy like Blake Christian, you know, where does he land in 2023? Of course, he was part of
GCW. He's part of Strong. He was did some stuff with Impact. He did a little bit of everything there for a while. He was kind of just on about every channel.
He was. So, you know, I'll be interested to see where he lands. I mean, Ring of Honor might be a great place for him to be in. So somebody I haven't really seen is what's his name? Zane? Alex Zane?
Yeah.
He was
yet again. Similar to Blake Christian. He was almost on. He was just about on every station there. He's had a lot of success with New Japan. You know, in his Best of Super Juniors. He was so popular that they brought him back for the Super Junior Tag League. I think he might be nursing an injury right now. I think that's why we haven't seen much of him anywhere. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But yet again, if New Japan doesn't kind of lock him down to something longer term, I could see him, you know, still being a very highly touted free agent.
Yeah. I think last time he wrestled was at the Tag League. So
yeah, which would have been December. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of big ones, of course, headlined the March 2nd premiere show by Claudio defending his Ring of Honor championship against none other than AR Fox.
Yeah, speaking of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I mean, AR Fox, you know, is now All Elite and has been, you know, as part of, I think, isn't he part of the same faction as Slim J?
I don't think so. I think
Thrustbusters or Thrustbusters or whatever the hell they're calling themselves.
I thought he was getting hooked up with Top Flight, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Maybe could be. I don't pay enough attention, especially to the dark stuff, to see who's where. But Air Fox has always been, you know, strong, consistent in ring guy. You know, yet again, he's always kind of lacked that reason to care, apart from, oh, he does some cool moves. Mm-hmm. Once you see his cool moves once or twice, like, okay, on to the next guy.
And of course, all this leading to this Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor on March the 31st in LA. So that's going to be a loaded show. But yeah, I mean, Tony K not doing terribly bad here. Still.
Booker and promoter of the year, 2 years running, Tony Khan, sir. Show some respect.
I thought it was three times.
Well, maybe it's three times. That would make more sense. The Meltzy Awards, Meltzy Award winner, 3 years running, best booker and best promoter.
I mean, he's got. I mean, so the so he gets a award for AEW, but the could he possibly go against himself with Ring of Honor?
I
You know,
mean, I
could be a
wouldn't think
tie.
he's going against himself. I would think that he's best booker and promoter, because he does multiple play because he does multiple promotions, quote unquote, even though it's the same as doing Raw and SmackDown. You're not promoting two different show. You're not promoting two different companies. They're just two different shows under the same company banner.
Yeah,
You know,
but
Sprite's really not competing with Coke, because if you buy either, the money's going to Coca-Cola.
true, true. All right, so it is that time. It is that time.
How many days? How many days? Tell us how many days, Patrick.
It is. You're actually 31 days away from. No, 32 days, sorry. 32 days away from WrestleMania. Goes Hollywood again.
Yes.
And, you know, what is a WrestleMania without a host?
I don't know. What is WrestleMania without a host?
It's not WrestleMania.
Oh, I expected like a joke or a better punchline or something.
I mean, you're asking a lot from me,
Well,
right?
that's yeah. Yeah,
Quiet on
you're
the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome! I came to play.
The
There's a
Miz
place to
is
play.
hosting
Time for you to
WrestleMania
get
this
down on your
year.
knees. I came to
Come
play.
on.
To the good old days. They never
Doesn't
put
get
me back.
bigger,
Watching
well,
you. I
it
came
does
to
get
play
bigger,
now.
but it doesn't get more awesome than that.
Well, and see that also takes me back to my earlier sentiment about The Miz. Nobody's excited to see The Miz wrestle a match, but they're excited to see him be somewhere and say something and talk about stuff. So they're getting the best usage out of this guy by having him be featured across multiple segments throughout WrestleMania as the host instead of wrestling one match that people will forget about.
I mean, have people really forgotten about his tag team match last year?
Yeah, who did he fight?
The Mysterios.
Yeah, I apparently forgot about that match.
I mean, come on, it was him and Logan Paul versus the Mysterios.
Yeah, I would think that out of the four people in that match, Miz is probably the one people are least thinking about. I would say people are like, oh yeah, remember that Logan Paul tag match he had where he wrestled Rey Mysterio? Oh yeah, remember that time Rey Mysterio and his son teamed together? Oh yeah, and the Miz was there.
Touche. But yeah, The Miz, two-time Grand Slam champion, The Miz is hosting the WrestleMania. So WrestleMania goes Hollywood again, and what better way to be hosted by a Hollywood C plus player in The Miz.
So I heard a funny theory that, yet again
There's nothing funny
is
about theory, but
no, not that theory,
okay.
no. About possible, this is fantasy booking among fantasy booking, but had they announced The Miz as the host of WrestleMania, say many months ago, and the whole Rock versus Roman story was still on the table, they could have had Miz finally repay back The Rock for helping him with his WrestleMania victory when they could have run the spot back. The ref's down, Rock and Roman are down. Miz comes down, attacks Roman, pulls Rock on top and goes, "Now we're even." And then he leaves. And then Rock, that's how Rock defeats Roman. And Roman gets dethroned because of outside interference, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that now that is completely fantasy amongst fantasy is, you know, we definitely know that the Dwayne does not care about WWE Universe like he said he always did. And he will not be coming back.
Yeah. I wouldn't either, to be honest.
I mean, he's making more money and do, you know, and not getting possibly fucking hurt and injured in front of a live crowd. He gets multiple takes now to do all of his quips and lines instead of trying to have to learn, you know, do them all in front of a live audience.
And he's got a double to take the beating.
That's what I'm saying. Anytime somebody's got to take a bump, he's got a stunt double.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know how many trucks he's given that. But yeah, so here so far, what it's looking like, you got 4 matches so far announced as done deals. Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes. Charlotte Flair defending the SmackDown Women's title against Rhea Ripley. Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's title against Asuka. And Brock Lesnar versus Omos. In a match,
and certainly a match that will happen.
Yeah, so I expect there to be some changes or shenanigans or whatever. I think that we're gonna continue. The thing with Lashley is not over, so this might be a setup for something at WrestleMania. Now other matches are still being rumored. We got Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul.
Okay, yeah.
Also rumored, the match between the Mysterios, Ray versus Dom, or Dom, however you want to call him. Edge versus Finn Balor, still out there. Now, the other match that possibly has been rumored, especially after last night, where we saw Lita and Becky Lynch defeat Damage Control to become the tag team, the women's tag team champions, is Trish Stratus, who also showed up last night, teaming up with Lita and Becky Lynch against Damage Control in 6 women action.
Yeah, that was definitely one that had been rumored for several weeks, actually, even before Lita was announced, to be Bex's tag team partner. People were already talking about that match as possible speculation. I think we've heard, you know, Bray Wyatt, you know, maybe Bobby Lashley. Bray Wyatt, you know, is going to try to do something with somebody. We still have tag team championships, you know, SmackDown and Raw tag team championships that will probably be decided.
The rumor that was
Andre the Giant Battle Royal could make its triumphant return.
Yeah, last year they did that first on SmackDown. So,
They did that. Yeah, they did that. It was like the main event of SmackDown instead of
because it was WrestleMania SmackDown is what they called it.
Yeah,
So we have a whole month, 32 days, for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to play. Play with me or the hide and seek or kind of game they're going to play where Kevin Owens is playing hard to get here because, you know, eventually we're going to see them, if the rumors are true, team up against the Usos. But do you like how they're building it? Where here we go, Kevin's trying to talk sense into Sammy. Sammy has none of it. Then they obviously beat the crap out of Owens. So now Kevin's kind of like, I may have come help you, but I came here to hurt the bloodline. I didn't come to help you. I don't care about you anymore. Thing because of the relationship, but you know, do you like how they're going about the slow way to get these two guys to eventually make up and team up at WrestleMania?
Yeah. I mean, if they're not going to, you know, put Sammy into the title picture, then, you know, this thing with him and Kevin trying to continue to attack the bloodline as a tag team to try to, you know, wrestle the tag belts away from them or something, I could see that as a very good story. You know, I mean, Sammy has been the king of long form storytelling for the last several years. I definitely enjoy it, and I see it going that way, and the fans see it going that way, but they're excited for the ride and they want to be there when it happens, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. So with the women's tag team titles now in the hands of Becky Lynch and Lita, obviously I don't think they need the titles for the six women tag. Do you think it's inevitable that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to be your next women's tag team champions?
Yeah, I definitely see them as coming in now as the champions. I mean, because if they're really doing a six-person tag match, then they don't need the tag belts there. Mm-hmm. I could see them even dropping the tag belts within the next few weeks, or they go through the match at WrestleMania. Shayna and Ronda possibly earn a number one contendership at WrestleMania, or, you know, on the SmackDown before. And then they fight them after WrestleMania. But yeah, I definitely see them as lining up at the top challengers, top contenders. Yeah.
Yeah. Which this has been my dream come true for a while. I've been wanting to see Ronda and Shayna team up and just destroy people. So I'm happy to get to see it. Lastly, next Monday, March 5th, they're in Boston, Massachusetts, and John Cena's advertised. And apparently, since they advertised John Cena, ticket sales went up because, you know, it's John freaking Cena. And you may not be able to see him, but you can still pay your ticket to be there.
I was disappointed by their promo plug for John Cena as the return to Boston. It seemed like they had built that to make people think that it was going to be Sasha Banks. So they're showing fans giving shocked reactions. They show two different black fans. They show a black guy. Oh my gosh. And then they go, you know, they show something. Then they show a black woman. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then they say the return you've been banking on. And they had that all, they had that whole term all blinged out. And then they say, John Cena. And everybody goes, oh, you mean it's John Cena and not Sasha Banks coming back? Oh, that is not the return we were quote unquote banking on. So I was a little frustrated with their deception.
Just, I mean, just to put it out there, I mean, but yeah. So, are you excited about a John Cena Austin Theory match or something?
I'm not excited about either of those guys wrestling in 2023. Let alone against each other.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Somehow he's got to get made. Austin. I mean, he's getting there, but he's still missing that little piece. You know, maybe what he's missing is the ruthless aggression. Okay. And if anybody's gonna beat it into him, it'll be John Cena.
Sure. I mean, Kurt Angle was the one who beat it into John Cena, so I guess John Cena just passes it on down to somebody else.
Yep. So obviously, two nights we'll get lots of great matches, really fun matches that everybody's looking forward to. My man, I know we're still a year ahead, but WrestleMania XL is also a two-night event next year in the city of Brotherly Love. I was hoping they would choose Atlanta, but they didn't. So, you know, Pennsylvania, I guess still got to look how far that travel is. You know, but I may make my return to WrestleMania sooner than expected. I know it's too far away now, right now, but who could you imagine headlining? If you could choose anybody, right, in the company, who do you think could be headlining WrestleMania next year?
I mean, it's.
You don't have to pick two guys. Just pick one person. You can just pick one. That could be in that picture.
Yeah.
That has that potential.
I mean, I definitely could see Cody back up there again. You know, main eventing for a second year in a row. Against whom, I don't know. I mean, realistically, that person may not be in WWE at this time. You know, same as I mean, this time last year, Cody Rhodes was not employed by WWE.
Right. Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, definitely that Cody's up there. Man, people need to step up. Because yeah, I'm the one that posed that question, but even I couldn't really think of it, and that's kind of crazy for everybody for us to just go ahead and pick. Cody, like, I mean, that he's only been back with the company for a year. But yeah. Okay. So, lastly, before we head out, Trouble Always in Paradise. Of course, it was announced earlier this year or no, something late last year. MLW, Major League Wrestling, had signed a deal with Reels to be on their network. On, mm-hmm. I believe, Thursday night, so 10 p.m.
Okay.
Well, it was just announced. Reels has now gone into business with the Peacock, where Peacock will be airing not only the content from Reels, but they're going to have a live streaming channel that would be linear with the actual network.
Okay.
However, one thing excluded from the linear live stream of Reels on Peacock will be MLW at 10 p.m. on Thursday nights, because WWE holds exclusivity as pro wrestling content on Peacock.
Okay. Very interesting.
Of course, I think the... the MLW has tried to sue WWE. That lawsuit was dismissed. They're gonna try again, but you know, interesting here, turn of events with, you know, MLW tying this deal with Reels, then Reels going to bet with the Peacock. Of course, the Peacock's all over WWE is just, not sure how MLW was going to think they were going to come out as the winners out of this. Thankfully, WWE has built themselves a nice defense fund. I mean, nothing sticks to these guys. And maybe also we have Tony to thank for it. You know, they really can't really build a monopoly as long as Ring of Honor and AEW exists.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's your take here? Is WWE bullying the little dog here in MLW?
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Happenstance.
I mean, I don't know if they're directly attacking MLW specifically, but you know, when they signed the deal with Peacock, they understood that things could change and that they might want to bring additional products, or mergers could bring additional products. So, I think it was more just business, and MLW happens to be the first one that's encountering this block. But I don't think that, I mean, they were ready to pick on whoever would come there. That's why they set these things in place. But I don't think it's them going after MLW specifically.
Yeah, same. But MLW will use the publicity as much as they can. Why not, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. The evil empire tried to stop us.
Yeah. It's been a crazy week. We're only on Tuesday. Argar Gigi came back on NXT. I'm looking forward to Roadblock. It's gonna be another fun NXT show. We'll talk more about the fallout next week. What's next week? Whatever happened on Saturday night at AEW Revolution. The kickoff of the New Japan Cup, the anniversary show, and much more. Of course, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and we got the Tribal Chief, and we're going to have Cody Rhodes in the same building this Friday. So who knows what could happen when both second-generation wrestlers are facing each other for the first time since Cody's been back. Everybody should stay tuned Friday night. Until then, make sure that you continue to listen to the show. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, Spotify. I see we had one listener made a comment, Steels. Thanks for liking the show. We definitely hope that you continue to stick around on Tuesday nights, listen to us live, that the backlog is coming. On there, follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. Endanger. Our other co-hosts are not here, but Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika is on Twitter at Mika Villas. I am on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.